In the Old Testament reading for today, we read from Isaiah, the passage that's known as the suffering servant. The nation of Israel is depicted as a person, a servant who must go through great suffering before Israel can be restored. Isaiah writes as a prophet in shadowy images, but through the light of the resurrection, Christians have come to see that the suffering servant is a real, live, historical person, Jesus Christ, the man from Nazareth. We see this in Acts, where the Ethiopian eunuch is reading a scroll of Isaiah and asks one of the first deacons, Philip, to explain it to him. Philip explains that the suffering servant in Isaiah is Christ himself. The truth of the gospel reopens and reorganizes the way that Israel reads this text that's about themselves. Where they had originally read the text as a story about their own troubles and suffering, the ministry of Christ reconfigures this text that's about Isaiah's suffering servant to be actually a detailed explanation of Christ and his work on the cross. It's a biblical telling of what's in the creed. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. This became a basic truth of the Christian gospel, that Christ and him crucified was something done for our sake, that he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. You might hear a priest in the liturgy say, "You gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption. He made there by his one oblation of himself once offered a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world." And through this one full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, Isaiah writes that the righteous one, the suffering servant, shall make many to be accounted righteous. Through the cross, God makes us to be called righteous, despite our sinfulness. Isaiah writes, "And he shall bear our iniquities." And later, "Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors." This is good news, gospel news. And it should bring us great comfort. Through Christ's sacrifice, we are made right before God. And we all need it. Isaiah writes, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Christ takes our sin and bears it in his own flesh. Amen. Amen, amen. But there's a wrong way to hear all this. The Jewish interpretation that the passage is about Israel and not some actual person was never wrong. It's not like the Jewish interpretation of the text is Israel suffering, but the Christian interpretation is that it's Jesus' suffering. The point of the cross isn't that Israel goes away and gets replaced by Jesus. The point is that Israel needed to be crucified. Israel needed to be pierced for their transgressions and crushed for their iniquities. And the gospel is that they were. Israel was shot through and crushed, but not into oblivion. In verse 11, Isaiah writes, "Out of the anguish of his soul, he, the suffering servant, shall see and be satisfied." And in the manuscripts that we read in the Dead Sea Scrolls, we read not only that he shall see, but that he shall see light. Out of the ordeal of the cross, the servant Israel shall see the light of the resurrection. And through the resurrection, the whole people of Israel were turned around and reconfigured, not around the temple in Jerusalem, but around the pure and spotless Lamb that we read about in Revelation. The Lamb that renders the sun and the moon useless because the light of the Lamb shines forever, brightly filling out the whole cosmos with the glory of God. So it's very appropriate that Isaiah describes the suffering servant as a lamb that is led to the slaughter. On the night before he died, Christ, our Passover lamb, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. Isaiah writes, "He was crushed for our iniquities." And then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you." And Isaiah writes, "With his wounds we are healed." Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." Isaiah writes, "He was pierced for our transgressions." And Christ says, "Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Isaiah 53 is one of those passages that I've heard so many times that sometimes it falls on deaf ears because it's become so familiar. But reading through it recently, God has spoken to me in a new way that I hadn't heard before. There is a wrong way to hear this text. We are all sinners, and if you didn't know that until just now, I have bad news for you. You are. And when we reflect on that sin, it gives us great personal grief. And so when we hear Isaiah say, "Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace," we hear those comfortable words from 1 John 2. "If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, ... And we breathe a sigh of relief. Ah, yes, I am a sinner. But Christ's sacrifice means that I am forgiven. And that's true. It's true. And there's people that need to hear that every single day. But it's not the whole truth. The truth is that the gospel isn't all about you. In our gospel reading today, James and John, still confused by the true nature of Christ's ministry, still densely unaware of the glory of the Son of Man, is to die for the sins of the whole world, they ask to have seats beside him once he takes the throne as Israel's Messiah. To which Jesus replies, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am being baptized?" Jesus was speaking of the cross. And they said to him, "We are able." Jesus told them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized." Christ makes it clear here that the relation between the suffering servant and those for whom he suffers is not merely that he dies on their behalf. Rather, he suffers so that we can join him in his suffering. He is baptized, but he is baptized so that we can join him in his baptism. He will drink the cup of wrath on the cross, but he does it so that we can share in that death with him. When he offers his blood of the covenant for the forgiveness of sins, he then tells us to do this in remembrance of me. Why? Jesus says, "But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever must be first among you must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The comfortable words are not just about you. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, ... And after the ... comes, "And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." He was pierced not only for our transgressions, but for the transgressions of the whole world. He was crushed not only for our iniquities, but for the iniquities of the whole world. He bore chastisement that brought not only us peace, but peace for the whole world. With His wounds, not only are we healed, but His wounds bring healing to the whole world. But only if we do this in remembrance of Him. As we eat the bread and drink the cup of the Lord, we pledge to carry out the cross of the suffering servant through the whole world, pledging to receive the benefits of the cross as well as to bring those benefits of forgiveness, peace, and healing to the whole world, and to do so at great cost to ourselves. The call to be Christ's disciple is the call to be a people willing to be pierced, willing to be crushed, willing to be chastised, willing to be wounded, not for ourselves, but through the light of the resurrection of Christ, we do it for the life of the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.